Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and, insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view.
So we have devils everywhere. We have demagogues everywhere. We have Hillary Clinton now becoming, she's left the farm. She's lost it. She's gone through the liberal window into Alice in Wonderland, now telling America should empathize with its enemies. So let's see what this works out as. The troops who are fighting the most vicious scum on the planet since Adolf Hitler's brigades should have empathy for those who rape and murder and kill and bury people alive, blow up children. We should have empathy for them and try to understand their viewpoint as far as possible. How in the world can this woman think anybody would vote for her? Now, let's go back in history. You're sending boys to face death in the islands of the South Pacific fighting the Japanese or to fight the Nazis, and you're going to tell them before they go over there they should empathize with the Nazis and the fanatics of the Japanese Imperial Army. I could not think of anyone who would ever have run for president, who ever would have dared say those kinds of things. Now, so if she's about to run for the presidency, which is obvious because that's what she's doing, why would she say we should empathize with our enemies? Why would she say a thing like that? Is she sending a coded message to our enemies that she, in fact, empathizes with them? We're also going to talk about the New York situation with the demagogue de Blasio, whose original name was Werner. His name was original name was Warren Wilhelm. Wilhelm. It's interesting because my car I named Wilhelm. So I have a natural sympathy for the name Wilhelm. I named my Mercedes Wilhelm when I bought it in 09 because it reminds me of a tank. It's like a Panzer tank. So I affectionately named my car Wilhelm. But so Bill de Blasio was born Warren Wilhelm and changed his name to de Blasio to take his mother's name, which is okay. I mean, that's not a big deal. People use stage names. But who were his parents? According to historian Ron Radish, de Blasio's parents were far-left radicals, a bona fide red diaper baby who, like many of his generation, kept his parents' pro-communist politics not far from his heart. Both of de Blasio's parents were far-leftists, most likely members of the CPUSA or some of its numerous front groups. In fact, de Blasio's mother, in the early 40s, worked at the Office of War Information, a U.S. government agency staffed largely by pro-Soviet leftists who depicted the USSR in a positive light. The mayor of New York himself is a great supporter, or was a great supporter, of Nicaragua's Marxist Sandinista government. He worked for New York nonprofits that were absolutely communist front groups. And so what do you think is going on in New York City where he attacks white cops, he attacks white voters, he attacks the Constitution, he attacks the country itself? I'll tell you what's going on. When I was a youngster, and I went to college, I went to a liberal arts college in New York City called the City University of New York, Queens College of the City University of New York. I was a working class kid. Who isn't working? I'm a working class kid. We couldn't afford a private college. My father sent me to a local municipal college, and it was a damn good college. But in this liberal arts college in New York City, which at the time the professors were all leftists, maybe, I didn't know anything else. They were all emigres, most of them, from Europe. They came here fleeing Hitler, and the first thing they did was try to inculcate communism in the minds of the children. So these liberal arts professors taught me what a demagogue was. That's my point. They taught me what a demagogue meant. And they said, don't fall into the trap of listening to demagogues. And they told me that if demagoguery arose in America, it would come from the right wing. Well, now we wake up and we find out that we have demagogues everywhere. Every liberal city, demagoguery. The president, demagogue. The attorney general, demagogue. The street radicals, worse than demagogues. And what is a demagogue? It's a word that needs to be... I need to remind you what a demagogue is. See, the problem with talk radio is that we... I'm not going to knock anybody, but basically they're on two dimensions. They work in a two-dimensional plane. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. Two tracks. You've heard it all. I try to bring some vocabulary to the discussion. So what is a demagogue? I try to remind people. They don't even know what the word is. They're not teaching it anymore. Right? A demagogue comes from the French word demagogue, derived in turn from the Greek demos, meaning people, and the verb ago, carry, manipulate, people, meaning people's manipulator or rabble-rouser. So it's a political leader in a democracy who appeals to the emotions, fears, prejudices, and ignorance of the lower classes in order to gain power and promote political motives. Is that not Barack Obama? Is that not Holder? Is that not de Blasio? Is that not it? And they exploit a fundamental weakness in democracy. They know that ultimate power is held by the people. And so what they do is they appeal to the lowest common denominator based on demographics, which is why de Blasio has told the people of the city of New York and the entire police force to drop dead. He is going to appeal to the rabble in the gutters. Now, I supported the indictment of the officer in Staten Island who unfortunately went too far, which led to the death of Eric Garner. But I tried not to use the word race. I said it had little or nothing to do with race, actually, nothing to do with race. De Blasio made it all about race. And you have to hear this montage we put together of the demagogue from New York, Bill DeLennon. Let's listen now.
People who feel aggrieved are asking for something simple. They're asking for the notion of a society in which everyone is treated equally. This is not just a problem in New York City. It is an American problem, an American challenge. It's an issue that goes back to the founding of this republic that we still haven't resolved. Our generation has to resolve it. The leaders you see around me, we are all responsible now. The weight of history can't be our excuse.
Oh, my God. Could you believe what he just said? The country was founded on everything wrong, and he's going to fix it. Him and his left-wing demagoguery squad are going to fix America. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like Barack Obama, who said America is going to be transformed by him and his goon squad? Now, Clinton says we should go even further than that. We should empathize with our devils, with our enemies, so to speak. I've never heard anything like this, but demagoguery is everywhere. And I thought I would open the show today by talking about demagoguery, or people's manipulators, or rabble-rousers. In other words, Barack Obama is no different than Al Sharpton. He's just smoother and has a better voice and a better haircut. Hillary Clinton is no different than de Blasio. It's just she wears a skirt, and she thinks that people still like her. Do you understand what I just said to you? Do you have any idea how dangerous this society is becoming under these liberation theologians? Now, here's the odd part. We had an election 3 weeks ago, and we said no to this. We said yet. We said no to the Sovietization of America. We said no to Lenin. We said no to Marx. We said no to Engels. We said no to Trotsky. And what the Lenins are doing are saying your vote doesn't count. You didn't vote, and if you did, it doesn't matter. We're going to nullify your vote because we are flooding America with as many millions of illegal aliens who are dumb as a doorpost because they don't even speak the language. They don't even know what's going on. They will never know what's going on, and the dumber the better. The less articulate they are in their own language, the better. The less educated they are, the better. The poorer they are, the better. The dumber they are, the better. They're not bringing in millions of hardworking people. Obama brought in women and children this summer from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. Are you telling me that we have child labor in America? What was he flooding America with 2- and 3-year-olds for and 15- and 16-year-old pregnant women for? Because they are the feeder fish for the future Soviet America. A dumb population is a good population in Animal Farm. A population that is dumb can be manipulated endlessly in Animal Farm. Do you understand how dangerous this is, that our vote has been nullified, and that they're planning a takeover of America in 2016, not on reason, not on positions, not on policies, but on sheer demographics? This has happened before in history, and it's always been a disaster. Everyone I meet who works for a living, whether they be a clerk in a store or a millionaire, tells me the same thing. They are terrified what these evil people are doing to this country. On that note, I will end my monologue, and I will go to the callers. The phone number here is 855-407-282. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday. Open Mic to Mike Friday, which means, look, I touched on a lot of topics this week. I just gave you a nice opening. The only thing missing from my monologue and what you're used to on Fox News is a pair of legs and lipstick. But since there are no visuals here, you'll have to imagine me sitting here not in high heels and lipstick, but in a pair of pants and a pullover. But basically, I have to do it all on words. I don't have the lipstick. I don't have the flashing lights. I don't have the high heels. I don't have the nylons. If they raise their dresses any higher on Fox News, I think they're going to be closed down for exhibiting pornography. I guess the lower the IQ content of a show, the higher the skirts go, because they're going up and up and up. I mean, the side shots are getting worse by the day. It's an embarrassment. I mean, I like women. But can you separate legs from the news? Is it possible? Could Murdoch think of something new other than showing the girl's legs and the lipstick? All right. I have nothing more to say on that matter other than this. I pray that long after my talk radio career is over, and I hope it goes on a long time, I don't wind up like Larry King. You know, every time I hear him doing it, and I feel bad for him. He was once king of media. Right? I mean, Larry King was the king of talk radio. Remember that. Before Rush, there was Larry King. And I'm afraid that, you know, there's a saying, old golfers never die, they just lose there, and I can't finish the saying. You remember the whole series, old golfers never die, they just lose there, and you have to fill in the word? Well, it's like old talkers never die, they stay on and on. I mean, selling little potties to sit on and garlic pills. And it's sad because you realize there's a time and a place to hang it up. You hang up the mic. I mean, isn't it embarrassing? I mean, to listen to the king of radio selling things like, all right, whatever. I just pray every day that at the end it's not like that for me. That's all I can say. In fact, long after I am through with the long-form three-hour-a-day radio show, which I'm not ready to do yet, I envision the Savage Minute. You know what I'd like to do, I think? Like the Savage Minute, where I give you a minute of the news in my own voice, my own analysis, and it's run, you know, all day long somewhere. I think that would be fun for me to do. But the problem is, doing a Savage Minute may be as hard work as doing a Savage 3 hours a day. I don't really know. How could I condense what I just said to you in 1 minute? And I've only talked for 10 minutes. There's another 2 hours and 43 minutes to go. But try condensing 3 hours into 1 minute. Okay? What would you like to talk about on the program? Let's take a quick call now. Shawnee in Kansas. Shawnee, Kansas. The woman's name is Diane. Diane, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I listen to you regularly, and I usually agree with you, but I am troubled over your commentary on the New York incident. You seemed very reckless to me in a way that you normally aren't. You're normally factual, passionate, yes, but it was extreme, I felt. Your opinion was extreme, and it would be...
Let's pause right there. Did I say that New York was the same as Ferguson, Missouri?
You did not. You said...
Did I say that the two situations were identical?
No, you did not. You said...
So why are you so didactic that you can't separate one incident from the other?
Oh, I certainly can't, but let me...
So in other words, you don't care that a man who was selling a cigarette died. That doesn't matter to you.
I listened. I watched the tape. It was horrific. I do. But
did you hear him begging for his life when he said, I can't breathe? That didn't appeal to your emotions as a human being?
It did. It was heart-wrenching. It was...
So isn't it possible that one cop went too far?
I agree with that. But my...
Also, where did I make a mistake then by saying one cop went too far? I don't understand it.
It wasn't... I'm not saying you made a mistake. You are a passionate man. You give a passionate opinion.
He did make a mistake. He could have broken his neck with his UFC television chokehold.
I agree.
You know what I love is reading all the blog comments and people say, well, it wasn't really a chokehold, or it's not really banned, it's not illegal, it's just not recommended. I mean, what are we living in, Nazi Germany, where there's no recognition of the fact that a man died for selling a cigarette?
I agree.
That was my point. Do you realize that if you take your position to its extreme and support cops no matter what they do, do you realize tomorrow it could be you at a traffic stop having your neck broken?
I agree. I do not.
Well, don't you understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but the police in some cases make mistakes, like shooting family dogs in backyards. How about that? I mean, we'd all get worked up over that, wouldn't we? Well, it wasn't a dog. Why didn't they just give him a summons and tell him to move on? Can you explain that to me?
I don't know. I wish they had.
And by the way, you're not the only one who's angry at me. I got cops who used to worship my show who hate me now. I'll be right back. Stay on the line.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You're talking about the demagoguery that's raging across the landscape, from Obama to de Blasio to Hillary Clinton. We don't even have to say Al Sharpton. He comes from hate land. With demagoguery, the mother's milk of guys like him were hate, and so we understand that if you get away with it and you get elevated preaching hatred, you keep doing it even if you're president of the United States. You don't stop. You don't grow into the job. You don't say, "Holy God, look what I got away with," and let me bring the people together. You keep dividing. You keep dividing, and then you triple down and you bring in 30 million illegal aliens and you destroy the country. And you say, screw the Republicans because I can do it, because Boehner's a weak drunk. McConnell is just an old turkey. They're not going to stand in my way. Throw him a bone. Throw him a bone. Give him the XL pipeline, a few other little perks for their supporters. And then we'll flood the country with illegals. What's Boehner going to do? Go buy another bottle of wild turkey? And what's McConnell going to do? Go hunt more wild turkeys during the Christmas break? They're laughing at them. Who are our representatives? That's what I want to know. Who represents the Americans who just voted? Where are they? Who's your representative? I mean, we have some great people out there, but where are they?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
And you come back. It is Rock and Roll Friday, TGIF, 34 minutes after the hour across America. Why are you killing the music? Make it go up. I could use some ribs and some beer right now in Memphis, Tennessee. But I'm not in Memphis. I'm in San Francisco, and there are no ribs to be had here. Oh, there's ribs. They taste... Everything is so ersatz, not real. Whatever you eat is not right. And I don't know... People who don't know food at all, they don't know food in San Francisco. They think they know food. It's not real food. Here and there, you can find a joint. That's it. I mean, if you like your... let's say you like your cat... There's some good Chinese restaurants I could recommend. Or if, let us say, you like your meat tenderized on the sidewalk, I can recommend some good Chinese restaurants, as came out in the media the other day, where a gentleman from the old country was doing it in his traditional cultural way. He was thawing a piece of, I think, pork on the sidewalk. He was slamming a slab of frozen meat on the sidewalk outside the Chinese restaurant. As passerbys went by, they couldn't believe it. There were cigarette butts, caterpillars, and other things you find on a sidewalk. And he was smashing the meat on the sidewalk to tenderize it. Now, he could use a cultural defense. In Obama's multicultural America, he could probably get a shyster lawyer somewhere in San Francisco to say that this poor immigrant was only doing it the way they do it back in Hangzhou, China. And that we have no right to impose our uptight, sanitary, white man's values upon him. And therefore, he should be immediately not only relieved of all responsibilities for thawing frozen meat on the sidewalk by bashing it against the pavement, but he should be receiving an award from the mayor of San Francisco for doing it in the homeland way. Shawnee, Kansas. Diane's still hanging there to lambast me. Finish up, Diane. Go ahead.
Okay.
Make my day. Go ahead, make my day. Keep beating me up on the New York thing. I don't care.
That wasn't my intention. But like I said, as I was listening to you, I felt red flags, and I've never, ever had that. I felt your passion. I watched the video. I felt the horror of that. But if I were in Ferguson, you would have incited me to do whatever. I mean, you're that.
Whoa, what do you mean? We were talking about New York, not Ferguson.
I get that, but I am just saying, I felt the passion of your talking, and I felt...
But don't you understand the problem in what you're saying? You're saying, because we were all cauterized by the vermin in Ferguson, egged on by Al Sharpton, Barack Obama, and the other demagogues, Therefore, we now have to always side with the police. That's a dangerous place to put yourself, by the way.
I agree with that.
Okay, so how you keep agreeing with everything that I say to you, yet you disagree with me. I don't understand it.
I disagree with the fact that Ferguson was told, wait for the grand jury. They'll have all the information. They'll have the people that can make the right decision, the true decision. And it felt like the grand jury had spoken, and maybe it was the wrong decision, but it felt like kind of like a Fergusonese a reaction to that. Do you get that?
You're saying I hadn't seen the grand jury testimony, and had I seen it, I would have understood why they were able to kill this man with impunity.
No, here.
Well, that's what you're saying. You see, here is the problem. You're using strictly legalistic arguments, and you're forgetting that a man was killed who did nothing but sell a cigarette. He did not assault the cop. He did not ball his fist into a fist. He did not charge the cop. He didn't try to take his gun away. There was no violence here.
He just refused to comply.
Oh, well, then kill him, sure.
No.
You refuse to come with me. We break your neck.
No.
Sieg Heil, this is the way we do it.
No.
You must comply.
You are just messing.
You must comply in the authoritarian America. Get on your ground.
Michael, I am...
The Reich insists you be on the ground.
But you know what? Why not?
The Reich Führer insists that if you sell a cigarette, you go to the ground.
Good German accent.
Okay, well, you get the picture. I'm very sensitive to fascism. I don't like it in any form. I don't like it in any uniform. I don't care where it comes from, black, white, Chinese, Cantonese. I don't care where fascism comes from. I oppose it. And mistakes can be made by anyone, even the best person on the planet. I make mistakes. So do you, don't you?
I do every day.
The cop made a mistake. He went overboard.
I agree.
Look, we're not going to agree. Many of you agree with you and don't agree with me. In fact, more people agree with your point of view and say that I was wrong for even saying this than agree with me. I only hope that they don't stop listening to my show because they don't agree with me. They may. They could go listen to one of the tin-plated phony conservatives out there who are saying whatever they want to hear in order to make them feel good, to sell them, you know, dental fillings. I don't know what to say. But thank you, Diane. Welcome to the club. You get another one attacking me now. There's no one supporting me here. All right. No one has a heart left in this country. Everyone has. They're just, I don't understand this. Nobody has a heart left in the country. Is this what conservatives have become? Heartless, legalistic people? You're looking everything through the point of view of legalistic. Oh, you didn't see the grand jury testimony. Oh, he resisted arrest. Therefore, he deserved to have his neck broken. My point is, he resisted arrest. And the cop went overboard. The cop made a mistake. He went too far. That's as simple as that. And the man died. Now, you probably disagree. I don't even want to talk about it all day long. KKOH Reno, Dan, welcome to the program. You also think I'm wrong. Tell me why.
Well, I don't think you're completely wrong. I think you put a foot wrong, though. You are absolutely right about two things. One is that those cops went just beyond overboard. And the other is that you are absolutely right, that demagoguery just poisons rational discourse when it's most needed.
All right, now you're going to say I'm a demagogue.
A little bit. You kind of stepped into it, I think, uncharacteristically for you. When we heard the demagogues spinning the Mike Brown situation as a guy who was killed for stealing a box of cigars, I can't imagine you accepting that spin on it.
Well, but there were so many different things about the Ferguson case, which we all know. He had assaulted an Indian shopkeeper one-third his size, threw him around like a rag doll, assaulted the police officer. We all know there was a difference between him and Garner.
I think the Ferguson grand jury got it right, too.
So do I.
On the other hand...
But remember what we said yesterday. I don't know if you heard yesterday. You probably heard yesterday's show, right? Did you hear my program yesterday?
You're fading out, but yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
Hear the program.
Did you hear yesterday's show? Do you know? Did you hear me describe what a grand jury's job is to do?
They're to find whether there is evidence sufficient to suspect that an actual crime has been committed.
That's exactly right, and I want to reiterate because most people are ignorant of the law. The job of a grand jury is not to determine guilt or innocence, not to decide who was right or wrong. but only to determine if there's enough evidence to charge a defendant in a given case. They said there's not enough evidence to charge a defendant in this case. They were wrong. Why do I say they're wrong? Because there was excessive force used by any, I think, objective analysis. There was excessive force used as evidenced by the fact that Garner is dead.
Well, I don't know that that necessarily is the evidence, but the film did show what looked like it should have been a talk down that suddenly was preemptively turned into a takedown. And I think we need to talk about nationally, have a conversation about this.
Right.
When should...
Yeah, they went to DEFCON 1 when they could have gone to DEFCON 3, more or less, right?
Pretty much, yeah. It looked like that the officer in front of Garner, it's hard to tell from the video, but it looked like the one in front of him might have been trying to de-escalate the situation when suddenly Pantaleo behind him...
Thank you. Right. Serpentine arm comes from behind and tries a move he learned on television by watching cartoons and UFC matches. He figures he'll try it on a guy from behind who's not fighting him. Let's see how tough he can be. Let's see if I can break this guy's neck. I'm not a big fan of Mr. Tattooed Arm. I still think he should be indicted for this because he went overboard.
Even if Garner had lived, that was out of line. But...
Hold it. You just said something no one's even said. Even if Garner had lived, that was out of line. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. There was excessive force used here. I don't understand why people are hating me for this. They think that by saying this, I'm suddenly... You know, there's an old concept here, which is... You're with me, right or wrong. Whether I'm right or wrong, you're with me. You can't have that attitude.
Right, but...
We all lose if we take that position, and I'll tell you why. You all know that there are rogue cops out there, just as there are rogue talk show hosts. There are rogue politicians. There are rogue cops. You know that there are bad cops and great cops. You know that there are people who take the job just to hurt people. I would be remiss if I didn't say that, because I hear it from cops themselves who tell me that there's some evil people in the force. What, are we all pretending that they're all clean as the driven snow and have a halo on their head?
No, certainly not. But
why can't we discuss it as grown-ups? What if you have a rotten apple who thinks he's macho because he jumps a guy from behind while four other men are holding him down? You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Pantagruel and the Lilliputians. It reminded me of Lilliputians jumping on a giant. It reminded me of Samson when I was a little boy being surrounded by midgets, being tortured by midgets who are poking him because his hands are tied up. They throw a net around him and then they poke him with hot pokers. It reminded me of all the bad stuff I saw as a child and as a young man being done to big people. This guy was a big guy, but was he a threatening guy, really? I mean, really, did he look to you like he was clenching his fists to beat the cops up?
He looked like somebody who couldn't keep up much of a fight for more than about 2 minutes. And I think if the cops had put that extra 2 minutes into de-escalating the situation, it would have played out a lot better.
So why am I being attacked for saying that there was excessive force applied?
You're not. You are being attacked for spinning it in a way that's saying Pantaleo wanted to kill him for...
Never said that. I said a few things about Pantaleo, but I didn't say he wanted to kill him. I never said that. Never. Never. I said Pantaleo, whatever his name is, used excessive force. That's my primary point. I also said he looked like he was a bit of a coward to me for having jumped on him that way, because a genuinely tough man, a real fighter, I don't think would have done that. To be honest with you, I don't think a really tough guy would have jumped on a guy's neck and almost broken his neck with his hands. This guy was strong. Pantaleo, whatever his name is. Isn't there any other way to take a man in who's big and kind of slow-witted and doesn't want to go with you into a car? Isn't there another way to do it?
I think talking him down didn't look from the film like that was off the table until Pantaleo took it off the table.
The man was selling cigarettes to homeless people for a dollar. Is that a big crime?
The way to spin it. That
he was jaywalking. He should have been given a summons. They were arresting him because the mayor wanted him to be arrested, and the shopkeepers in the stores wanted the police to make an arrest to send a message to the others selling cigarettes who were cutting into their business. I understand all of that. But the biggest one to blame here, in addition to the one who put the hands around his neck, in my opinion, is the woman in the doorway, the sergeant. The woman sergeant, who happens to be African-American, who did nothing to stop this. She could have jumped in and said, hey, stop. She didn't. She stood there. Why?
I think at that point, I think what happens at that point is the alpha ape mentality takes over.
You're a very, very, very wonderful caller. You have a literacy level that's unusual in talk radio. I would say, I'd go into a different direction, not say alpha ape. I would say pack mentality took over.
Yeah, it does.
This was a pack of wild people taking down another animal. Their adrenaline was raging. They no longer were humans in the sense of understanding what they were even doing. They went crazy on this guy. Why did they leave him laying there on the sidewalk like that and not give him CPR? What was that about?
I think perhaps that was still the leftover where adrenaline and rage take over.
Correct. So who should have stepped in at three different points in this horrible tragedy? The woman in the doorway, the African-American woman sergeant, who I understand to be the group leader. She stood in the doorway, hiding in a doorway. She could have intervened when it was getting out of control. She could have intervened when they were choking him down. She could have intervened when he lay dying on the sidewalk, but she did nothing. If anyone's responsible, it's her. I mean, the buck stops with the team leader, I think.
She was definitely negligent. I don't think putting the race issue into this, because I don't think this was a racial interaction.
I've said 18 times this is not about race. This is about a miscarriage of power. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you?
I never said
there was a racial story here. I said this was an example of excessive force being used. I never said black-white. It was de Blasio and Obama right away who did the black-white. It was, of course, whatever his name, Holder, who did the black-white thing.
To go out of your...
Look, we're not going to agree on this. I can see that, but we have, I think, come somewhat together along this horrible path. Ask yourself if he was your handicapped brother, how you'd be feeling. What if you had a brother who was slow-witted, who was poor, never got anywhere in life, for whatever reasons, lived on welfare and lived in public housing, and he was selling a few cigarettes, and you woke up to him being dead? How would you feel about that? I mean, you'd feel like your heart was broken, right?
Michael, that's another demagogic argument. That
No, it isn't. We are all brothers in that regard. I mean, what, he's my enemy because he's black? He's my enemy because he's big? He's my enemy because he's on welfare? He's my enemy because he's selling cigarettes illegally? See, my humanity transcends all of those issues, my friend. Dan, we are going to disagree, or as they say, we're going to agree to disagree. And I thank you very much for calling the Savage Nation on Rock and Roll Friday. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. Grab it while you can.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Extra, extra, hear all about it. Hillary Clinton says America should empathize with its enemies. Hillary Clinton says that America should show respect for its enemies. Why doesn't she visit the graveyards in Europe with all the crosses on them and talk to the dead soldiers, to their spirits, who died not by empathizing with the Nazis, but by shooting them in the guts? Hillary has just destroyed her career.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If you talk about the last decade or so in this city, was race a factor and a problem in the relationship between police and community? Obviously it was.
The relationship between police and community has to change.
people need to know that black lives and brown lives matter as much as white lives. So I've had to worry over the years. Shirlane's had to worry. Was Dante safe each night? There are so many families in this city who feel that each and every night. Is my child safe?
So, in other words, the police bodyguards that his son Dante has or had, he shouldn't trust. He should be afraid of the police bodyguards. What a demagogue, man. This guy is the worst. But he's not alone. You got Hillary Clinton, same story. They're all reading from the same page. They read the same manifesto. Him, Hillary, Obama, Holder, they're from the far left, liberation theology, white bad, brown black good. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. It's right out of Animal Farm. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Now, it's open mic to Mike Friday, as promised. Any topic is fair game. It doesn't have to be just a New York horror story, and it is a horror story. And the most horrible part of it is no one seems to give a rat's behind about the man who was killed, whether by accident, whether by because of his own illness, whether he resisted arrest. The guy was killed in the takedown. Don't you have any sympathy for the man's life? You know, you've seen cases where police get amped up and they kill a dog. They accidentally shoot the family dog and they say, whoops, wrong house. We had the wrong address. And we say, oh, God, we hope to God we're not the next. Accidents happen, boys and girls. This was a mistake. Pantaleo went overboard. He went overboard with the neck job. You get it? That's one topic. There are many others. And if you haven't heard Hillary yet saying America should empathize with the Islamo-fascists, you're not going to believe it. Listen to Hillary now. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Hillary Clinton, Robert, hello.
This is
Hillary.
What we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance
words?
Peace and security,
smart
leaving no
power.
One on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view.
Let's stop right there. Can anyone listening to this show tell me where she got this rhetoric from? Where she said we should show respect for our enemies and try to understand and empathize with their perspective and point of view? Can anyone listening to this show, even a liberal, tell me that that makes sense? This is the old liberal argument that the cop should empathize with the criminal. That while he's pursuing a rapist who just raped a five-year-old, let's say, God forbid, he should empathize with the man's poor upbringing and is the psychological damage he suffered. Or let's say you send your poor Marines out to face the Islamo-fascists, and like George Bush, you arrest them for doing their job, and then you put them into a holding tank in Fort Leavenworth, if you can, for killing the enemy instead of getting on a prayer rug and munching on pita bread with them. This is not smart power. This is liberal stupidity. It's killing us all. That's why the West is dead. It's why the West is dying. It's why London has become Londonistan. It's why England is no more. It's why there's no England anymore. It's why there's literally no America anymore. It's because of this kind of insanity. I had thought that the election of 3 weeks ago would have put a clamp on this type of stupidity. I mean, after all, she's just another demagogue in a skirt who thinks that everyone can't wait for her to become president. I will tell you right now, she's unelectable. Not from this speech. She is so out of touch with reality. She's old goods. She's yesterday's news. The young people may want a woman, but they don't want her. There are many women who are qualified to be president. She's not one of them. We don't have to list a litany of the things she has done and not done. It would be a whole book. I also read that CNN has finally gotten rid of that harridan, Candy Crowley, who destroyed the last election by fronting. I would use another word, but it's a family show. The word I'd rather use begins with a P and ends with a P, for Barack Obama during the presidential debates. It was an embarrassment to watch this hag. Well, apparently Jeff Zucker is getting rid of her. I don't know why. Why Jeff Zucker, a certifiable left-wing operative, would get rid of another left-wing operative, is maybe she's not as good-looking as the legs and lipstick on Fox. It's probably looks, that's all. As far as the politics go, they're perfect. We don't know what Candy Crowley's next role will be, but we are assuming it will not be ambassador to Libya. I think there's no longer an embassy in Benghazi. But it should be considered. I mean, she should consider the job as ambassador to Libya. or to Somalia. She may fit right in. Because if Hillary says that we should empathize with our enemies, there's no reason she shouldn't recommend that Candy Crowley empathize with the Somalis, or let us say the Libyans right now. They're all such nice people. Let's take some callers now on the program. Betsy, Cleveland, Ohio. Betsy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
One of your 10 female listeners.
You are one of... I have 25 female listeners now, according to the latest studies.
Okay.
Of the millions of listeners I have 25 Savagettes.
So I'm one of a couple dozen. I'm divorced, a professional lady. I am not a hag like Candy Crowley. I mean that. I'm a Savagette, and I'm seeking my Michael Savage. I have taken advice. I got my book. Stop the...
And you want to meet a guy who is like-minded?
You betcha. So here's what I propose.
Oh, as a lady who knows what she wants.
I do, but here's the thing. I carry the iPhone around. I listen to you loud enough so other people can hear it. I carry the book around. I take it to meetings. Nothing has worked, so I have a proposition.
Oh, I like the directness. You sound like a relative of mine who I like greatly, who always told it just like it was. So you're trying everything you can, and no one's come up to you to take you out on a date.
All I want is a freaking date. Oops, excuse me.
Well, I'm not a dating service, and it's very dangerous, Betsy, because I can guarantee you right now there are a lot of guys who would say, I want to date Betsy. I like her spunk. I like her voice. I like her politics. But you're going to get a crazy mixed in, a bad person, you know, and I can't then open the line up to someone who wants to date you because I don't want to read about it in the Police Gazette 2 weeks from now.
All right, how about this, Michael? Would you be willing to create a spot on your website? Or I'll host a thing where people like me, there must be other... Look, there's only 25 female listeners, so I should have a big pool to choose from.
You probably have the entire U.S. Army, at least the heterosexuals anyway.
That'll work. Oh, well. Could we do something? Would you be willing to do something like that on your website?
I can't. You know why I can't? Legally, if I open a dating site on my website, you realize the liability, what happens if some guy, let's say, hurts a woman who she met on my website? I'm liable.
Facebook every day.
I don't have Facebook. See, this is why I can't play dating game. I can't play matchmaker. I don't understand it, Betsy. Are you divorced?
I'm divorced. I look good. I'm telling you.
How old are you, Betsy?
I'm a psychologist. You and I have spoken before. I've interpreted.
Oh, you're the psychologist. How old are you, though?
Okay. I'm 59. I look fabulous. I take great care of myself. You would never know.
Okay, so let's say someone saw you in a department store. How old would they think you are?
They would think I was, let's say, 10 years younger. 49, 50 tops.
All right, fine. And 50 today is certainly not 50 of 30 years ago.
You could
but
ask.
The thing is, your mind is very good, and there's got to be a lot of men out there who are intimidated by you. That's the problem you're having. Men are terrified. They really are terrified of women who are very smart and very bright. I mean, that's the truth. They fight with them all the time.
Well, that could be a good thing. It's fun to fight.
Oh, God. I'm getting deeper and deeper. No matter what I do, the wheels keep spinning. I'm trying to back out of this sand trap I'm in, and I can't get out of it.
No, you can't get out of it. So how about this? T-shirt together. I am a Savagette. You know, bumper.
Look, you want to, hey, Betsy, I'll tell you what. You want to send your picture and take the risk of having a lunatic call you up for a coffee and you wind up in a trunk somewhere?
God forbid.
I'm telling you, Betsy, there are bad people out there.
I understand, which is why I'm not on
Facebook. I am such a cynic. I have no faith in the human race. I don't trust anyone. I don't know why you'd be so trusting if you're a psychologist.
I would like to be married again, Michael. It's lonely out here.
And you're telling me marriage is necessarily going to take away that loneliness?
How about do you have any ideas for me? I'll give you another.
Now I'll reverse roles. I'll be your therapist. You already had a marriage that went up in smoke, correct?
What went up?
The marriage went up in smoke, right?
Yeah, it was a 15-year marriage, yes.
Oh, wait a minute. But it didn't last, correct? Like most marriages, is that right?
15 years.
Oh, but it didn't last, like most marriages don't last. Isn't that correct?
Seed.
All right. So, Are you telling me that you're more lonely alone than you were fighting with that man in the last years of that marriage?
No, you have a no.
Listen to what I just said. Because I've read that people are more lonely in a bad relationship than they are alone.
Well, that's true.
I mean, when you're alone, okay, you're alone. You know, you get used to it. You can go home, you can do what you want. But if you're going home to an enemy, tell me how lonely that is.
It's a little bit lonelier. But that's besides the point.
Well, wait a minute. So then you're saying you want the ideal man to come along who will not be that antagonist. You want someone who's going to be a partner with you on all levels. That's very hard to find. I don't understand this. Don't people do this somewhere, some other place other than talk radio? Don't they go to, like, dating sites?
No. Oh, please. Do you know who...
Well, what? But why wouldn't you do that?
I mean,
I've seen ads in the back, and they don't do them anymore. Like, I used to joke about the ads, and I used to joke about what people would write, like women looking for men, like on Craigslist. W looks for M. M looks for W. Missed opportunities, that kind of thing. So you see women write artsy, Rubenesque, likes late long walks on the beach, things like that. You know that she's a certifiable lunatic. Anyone who writes that, it looks like Candy Crowley, and she's been in and out of hospitals all her life. I mean, you got to read the code words. So those places do still exist. Well, how about the guy who says athletic and this and that, and then you meet him, he looks like Woody Allen. What are you going to do in that case?
I'm trying to say to you, so the best way to meet someone is to take the book, listen to Michael Savage, wear a T-shirt, and have somewhere where people can go of like mind.
Oh, so wait a minute. Do you have Facebook?
Well, do I have it? I don't use it. I'm on there. I don't use it. Yes.
So why don't you go on there and create a Savagette study group?
Okay. So
Savagette study group, Thursday night, certain restaurant, meet for coffee, no host drinks, no host this, and bring a book, and we'll talk about what Savage talked about on the radio. Maybe you'll meet some. That's the better way to go.
I guess you don't want to get involved with me on this.
I can't get involved. Not only with you, I can't do a dating service. But now you're a psychologist, so let's be, because you're very bright. I've had you on the show before. Tell me why Hillary Clinton would say we should empathize with our enemies. What is she doing here?
I think it's her subconscious. I don't think she really wants to be president anymore.
Are you serious? Why would she come out with a thing like this, calling it smart power, showing respect for our enemies, understanding, empathizing with their perspective? That's the end of her career. How could she do a thing like that? Who wrote that speech for her?
The liberals are left of themselves anymore, you see, and there's a certain group of people that are going to like what she has to say.
Yeah, so who's she appeasing? The college crowd? She already has the psychopaths in the universities.
For sure, them.
She has the psychos in the university, so who is she reaching for here? Certainly not the middle of the roaders.
No,
You know that the left-wing fanatics in the universities on tenure who couldn't make a living doing anything else are going to vote for her anyway just because she has a skirt. I really love that. Because she has a skirt, that makes her qualified to be a president.
It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. I don't even want a female president. Never have.
Why? Why don't you want a female president?
Why? The same reason I don't want a female doctor, Michael. And that's why I don't have any. You want to know what I've noticed? Female doctors are all going to part-time. They're not there when you need them. They don't want to get up in the middle of the night and take your calls, and they don't want to get up and go do surgery. A man does. Men and women are different.
Oh, wow. Wow, an anti-feminist feminist. That's amazing. You got a double going there. I happen to have a female dermatologist. I like her better than the men the dermatologist I had. It was sadistic. The dermatologists I had in Mill Valley, California were like that Officer Pantaleo. I thought that they were going to not only break my neck, but cut my jugular vein. So I switched to a woman. She's much gentler.
Well, yeah. Well, how often?
All right, hon. I gotta run along. This is not actually a personal telephone conversation. It's a national radio show. I've enjoyed it. I mean, I really have enjoyed this enormously. I wish you very, very good luck. I wish you well in your search, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right. right, should we have fun, do a dating service, talk about the Aragona case, George Bush. George Bush says that Barack Obama is his brother from another mother. Did he say that? He always struck me as bizarre. Bush always struck me as nuts. I told you the last 4 months of Bush's regime, I said, look out. And I said, he's a fiscal socialist. Now he's the best friend of, Bill Clinton's his brother-in-law. So they said to him, well, then what does that make Hillary? He says, my sister-in-law. Maybe he's going senile from all of the oil paints. Giuliani, nah, I'm not interested. Rand Paul, I think there was a better way. Oh, I didn't know we had Pelosi. Get the Bugs Bunny sound ready. Get the Looney Tunes sound and then play clip 14. Here she goes again. Just when we thought she was out, she's back in.
But let us recognize that immigration is the lifeblood of America, the constant reinvigoration of our country. Ugh. Every immigrant who has come with hope, optimism, determination.
Every immigrant?
Courage.
Including
Al
Capone?
To make the future better for their families. All of those immigrants having those American values.
Sacco and Vanzetti?
Optimism, hope, and courage. Every one of those immigrants has made America more American.
So that includes the rapists, the murderers, the drunk drivers. That includes the 30% of our prison population that consists of illegal aliens. They've all come here with hope, optimism, determination, and courage to make a better future for their families. That includes the prison gangs, to Nancy Pelosi. You know, God better save us from these progressives. They're going to kill us all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Baby, baby, baby.
How is it? How is it when I was a wee lad and I was heavily into rock and roll in the 1950s, we were able to go white boys up to Harlem to the theater in Harlem and listen to, it was a rock and roll show, I don't know what it was. Half the audience was black, half the audience was white. We all, it was an Alan Freed rock and roll show. We loved the show. No one got stabbed, no one got shot, no one got punched. Everyone walked out high as a kite on the music. Now let's move ahead to the Great Society. Now let's move ahead to all of the other left-wing demagogues and tell me something. Are race relations better now or worse after all of this liberalism? You don't even have to call on that. I mean, it's a given. You know what they do. That's why I started the show talking about demagoguery. What is a demagogue? You missed that. It's too big a word for the average talk radio host. Demagogue. They can only say Democrat. Democrat. Republican. But if you look up the word demagogue, you'll find out that we are living through the worst demagoguery in modern American history under de Blasio. Name the names. Fill it in. Fill in the blank. They appeal to the lowest common denominator, the basest in mankind, and they stir up race against race. It's unbelievable to me that the mayor of New York, and you know how he got elected. He was a known communist supporter, a known anti-American supporter. It's all in his history. And the part that galls me the most about de Blasio in New York is that he was born with the name Warren Wilhelm. And my car's name is Wilhelm, and it really insults me. How am I ever going to speak affectionately to my car again and say, good job, Wilhelm? Because every time I will say that from now on, I will think of the commie, Bill de Blasio in New York. So I'm either going to sell my car or rename it, because I'm no longer going to call him Wilhelm. I cannot do that in good conscience at this point. We also had a woman calling who wants to meet a guy. I mean, can we talk about that? I mean, it is Friday. Are we allowed to talk about that on the show? Is it of any interest to anybody? Not how to meet someone, but are people still looking to meet someone? I mean, is that still going on no matter what? Are conservatives have sex is the real question. I wonder about that, because the common thought amongst youngsters is that only liberals have sex, that conservatives actually don't have sex. They're rigid. They go home and salute a flag. They eat tuna fish and mayonnaise on white bread. Maybe they play golf or something like that. They listen to talk radio. They're very, very incapable of lovemaking. Maybe they had sex two or three times in their life to have children. I mean, I swear to God, if you ask the average college girl laying down in Grand Central Station to protest something, any one of them, they would assume that unless the guy is fuzzy-haired and stoned, you know what I'm saying, he's not worthy of her attentions. Let's put it to you that way, since it's a family show. Do you mind if I talk about this? I'm so tired of everything else that I'd rather just talk about humanity. Because that's what the Garner case was about, humanity. And no one seems to be talking about the guy's humanity. You say, well, where's the humanity of the officers of the law? Well, I'm sorry, they're alive and he's dead. You know, it's his humanity that bothers me. I don't hear anyone calling the show saying, you know what, look, it was a terrible situation, but you're wrong, but I feel bad for the fact that the guy died. No, they don't say that. How can you sit there and just say he got what he deserved? He was selling a cigarette. He didn't follow instructions. Tomorrow it could be you. It could be you at a traffic stop refusing to lay down in the gutter. Just understand that. You know, we're supposed to have separation of church and state and separation of powers, but there's not supposed to be an absolute power in any segment of society. There is no absolute power anywhere. And I don't understand this. In an age of increased militarization of the police, which conservatives, by the way, are concerned about, all of a sudden now you're going to goose step and tell me I'm wrong when there's such an egregious example of excessive force? I don't understand it. I can guarantee you if Garner had had a dog and the dog had died in the altercation, you'd have people with more sympathy for the dog than they do for Eric Garner. That's the probable truth here. And that's the horrible truth of what's going on in my country. But I have no way to change things. I really don't. I can't change your viewpoint. I'm not here to change your viewpoint, to be honest with you. Let's take the callers. Connie on WMAL in Washington. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I believe that the left is attempting to blur the lines between lawfulness and lawlessness. And you mentioned,
is that why Hillary Clinton said that we should empathize with our enemies?
Oh, definitely. I mean, where was she when poor Ambassador Stevens was murdered? Was she going to empathize with them then?
To make a statement like this is irrational. It's the mark of a crazy woman. I don't know if you heard this, but I need to play it again. Hillary Clinton saying America should empathize and show respect for its enemies.
This
play
is
now,
what right. we call smart power, using
we?
Every possible tool and partner to advance peace
oh,
and security,
God.
Leaving
oh,
no
God.
One on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view.
Let's stop right there. How come she called Mr. Putin Hitler? Do you understand what I just said to you? Do you understand what a bad liar this woman has become? Someone's messing up her campaign on purpose. What do you mean smart power? That's another one of these phrases they come up with that means nothing. If you hear the word tool, you know that they don't know what they're talking about. That's another word that has no meaning. Tool. I love the word tool. Tool. Every tool. Tool, that's a tool. This is a woman who couldn't use a screwdriver or a hammer. Every possible tool to advance peace. Does that include calling Putin Hitler, as you did way back when he took the Crimea? It was the Crimea, wasn't it? I forgot already. So long ago. She called him Hitler. That's right. That's smart power on her behalf. It's irrational. You're going to run for the president of the United States, and you're telling our soldiers who have to go out there and risk their lives that they should empathize with people who bury others alive, rape and murder at will, blow people up in marketplaces? How in the world can you tell them that when the exact opposite is true? I would wish to God I had the tape of the movie Patton right now, where the character played by George C. Scott, speaking to the troops, says, you'll know what to do when you see your friend's guts hanging out of his stomach. If you're frightened, don't worry, he said. You'll know what to do when you see your friend's face shot off. And at that point, I don't think that a soldier is going to empathize with the perspective of those who shot his friend's face off. This is such a dangerous speech. I don't understand why she would even say it. I mean, she's a smart woman. Allegedly, she's the smartest woman in the world. She's as smart as the wise Latina on the Supreme Court, maybe even wiser. I mean, we're very lucky we have such brilliant women at the top of the social heap. The wisest Latina in the history of the universe is on the Supreme Court, although no one knows of a legal decision she's ever written that anyone will ever remember. I mean, she's not a Brandeis. And then we have Hillary Clinton saying a thing like this, and yet considered the smartest woman on earth. I don't understand this. Thank you for the call. I used up about 3 minutes on this. Can we talk about anything except this Garner thing or Bill de Blasio? Let's see what else. I have some news stories I didn't read to you yet. Where are my news stories? Schnopton, Schnuffer, Schnopton. We've got some good sound here, and I haven't gotten to it yet, but 855-407-282 will get you into the Savage Nation. That's the combination to the safe of listeners that you've been trying to proselytize to all of your life but haven't been able to. It's sort of like being on a street corner with a soapbox, only you have a telephone and or an iPhone, and you get to talk to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. Think about that. And it scares people when you say that. Radio's not easy to do. If you actually analyze that you're talking to millions of people, you could die right on the spot. You could fall apart and die. If I ever thought about the fact that I'm talking to millions of people, I probably would turn white and die. I don't feel like I'm talking to millions of people. I make it very conversational. I have a disassociational reality with my radio show. I mean, it's a conversation with someone on the other side of the thing. It's like my friend didn't say, "Hey, Jack, how you doing?" "Oh, it's horrible. Let me tell you what's going on in the world." I mean, this is basically what I do. So the day I realize it's millions of people, I think I fainted on the spot. That's why it's hard for people to call the show, because they get scared. They say, "Holy God, I can't do that. I'll go to pieces, you know." No story. Where are my stories for the day? Someone's supposed to send me stories for the day. I looked at them and threw them out. We have another call. I'm not interested in this sympathy, empathy, obligation to arrest them thing. Is anyone screening, or he's doing the MP3? I think he left the station. Oh, he is? Okay. Here, let's see. Headlines. Oh, here we go. Ashton Carter pledges most candid advice to Obama if confirmed as defense secretary. Boring. I'm not interested in the next Defense Department chief. I know he'll do what Obama says. Next story. ISIS Twitter accounts claim they have weaponized stolen uranium and created a dirty bomb. Boring. Another big lie. Reports say Obama is mulling sanctions on Israel. Probably true. What did I write in my book? He treats our once allies like enemies and our enemies like allies. He, in other words, he's playing for the opposite team. So here's a man who removed sanctions from Iran and is going to put them on Israel. And Jews will vote for him no matter what. Can you explain to me, if you're a liberal Jew, why you keep voting for Democrats? Is there a liberal Jew who listens to this show, or am I imagining that you do? Imagine that you do, because I sound like you. In other words, you listen by accident. You say, "Who is that guy? He sounds like me, but he's the opposite of what I believe in. And here he's saying something that must insult me, but I don't really understand what it is. Sylvie, is he insulting us or isn't he? Is he good for the Jewish people or bad for the Jewish people? What is he talking about Jews at all? Shah, be quiet. Don't say a word. Who is that guy? Do we know him? Is he with NPR? What do you mean? He isn't? He's a what? A Nazi? Why? Why? What do you mean Nazi? Reports say Obama mulling sanctions on Israel. So Michael Savage said, wait a minute. I wrote in my last book, Stop the Coming Civil War, that Obama is playing for the other team. He removes sanctions on Iran, and he puts sanctions on Israel. And then I asked, why do liberal Jews continue to vote Democrat when they wake up and see that the whole party is anti-Israel? The answer is that they're not really Jews in that regard. Not every Jew supports Israel. Do you understand that? That most Jews are in the country who are liberal don't support Israel. In fact, they probably don't support Israel at all. And that's why they're Democrats, because they hate Israel. That's the party that hates Israel. And here is the real conundrum. How is it that the non-Jewish Republican Party, because that's how they see it, I'm talking strictly from their point of view, the non-Jewish Republican Party supports Israel, while the very, very, very friendly Democrat Party cuts Israel's legs out from under them? Why do they keep sending them money? Why don't they wake up? Can they stop? Can they get out of Ellis Island already? Can they leave Ellis Island? Can they stop with the downtrodden and identifying with the poor when they're not poor anymore? How is that possible? Why is they still marching now with the ILGWU? Their father's been dead 40 years. The Triangle Shirtwaist Fire was put out 90 years ago. They still think the fire just occurred. Their granddaughters are laying in the streets now to protest Ferguson and to protest Garner. The granddaughters are still the commie wobblers. Go figure that one out. That should be on YouTube. That's a pretty good one. Michael Savage on why liberal Jews support, why do liberal Jews continue to support. Hey, I'll give you the headline. Those of you who post my stuff. I just found a screamer on Michael Savage on Women from 2009. I don't even think I should play it. It's so risque. It's so good. I was laughing during the break. Here's the YouTube title of that one. Michael Savage goes off on liberal Jews who vote Democrat even though Obama attacks Israel. Yeah, that's a good YouTube. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Welcome back. Listen to me. Turn it off already. It's too sweet.
I did some hot stuff in 2009. That's amazing. I was on YouTube during the break. This is a killer. Michael Savage on how to get the girls and who gets them. Because the woman called in the last hour. She's 59 and she can't, you know, she wants to get remarried. So I started looking up the stuff I did. But my hottest stuff was done in 09, just before I was banned in Britain. I guess I was out to lunch there. I don't know. I was over the top, as they say in the radio business. Over the top. People always attack your religion when they can't understand that you're smarter than them. Why is that? That people who don't like me, who can't even follow me, right away they go after my religion. What is that about? What is it about sickos like that? Unbelievable to me. How stupid and low they can be. I don't get that. God help any woman who likes Michael Savage. He sounds like a misogynist. You hear what idiotic? I mean, this is stupid. Why am I a misogynist for understanding how men and women operate? If Freud understood how men and women operate, did that make him a misogynist? Yeah, well, to the left, yes. Sorry, I fell right into it. So if you actually understand how women think and how they operate and you know, how men think and operate better than the average person, you're a misogynist? I don't think so. Okay, so you want to talk about the murder in New York over and over again? Let's go for it. Michael on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, how you doing? Listen, I agree with you on everything. You actually educated me on that position, but you make one mistake. By singling out Pantaleo, that's why the prosecutor made the wrong indictment, because the forensic evidence said, the coroner said, it wasn't the choco that killed him. All the cops should have been indicted for excessive force. But by singling out the one guy and repeatedly over and over saying the chokehold, when the coroner said the chokehold didn't kill him, it was chest pressure, and we can all see all these cops on top of this guy, they all should have been indicted, and they all should have been indicted for excessive force, and I believe that would have worked. But singling out the...
Would you include the sergeant, the female sergeant who stood in the doorway doing nothing?
She's absolutely wrong. She should have told him...
She should have jumped in from the get-go and stopped this pack mentality. I agree with you. And as I say, not all of us are good all of the time. Some of us make mistakes. And if a surgeon makes a mistake and cuts the wrong artery, and he's out of business, man. I mean, cops make errors too, right?
Patient, but by...
Why are people attacking me for saying what's the human thing to say here? I don't get that. We're out of time. I can't believe it. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the old-time Savage. 8 minutes after the hour. I never had such energy. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like the old Buddy Hackett joke. I don't understand this. I feel better and better as the years go on. What's wrong with me? I have more energy now for the radio show than I did years ago. What is that? What is this with me? Where is it coming from? All morning before the show, I'm like dragging around. I don't feel good. I don't want to get out of bed. I got a headache. Things hurt. I don't think I can do it. I don't want to do it. The minute I hear the downbeat to the open, Robert, play the opening downbeat to my show. The minute I hear this, I can be on my... The minute I hear that, something snaps inside of me awake. Bum, ba, bum, ba, bum, bum, bing. My Warning. Eyes brighten. Okay, they get the picture. The minute I hear the downbeat in the opening to my show, all the blood flows. My eyes become, my vision's clearer. Whatever aches and pains I may have had go away. All my fears and doubts disappear. It's 3 hours of heaven. I mean, it's grueling in a way, but so what? I fly like an eagle. As they said in an old rock and roll group who I don't remember anymore. Steve Miller Band, right? Fly Like an Eagle. Great song. My friend was in that band years ago. Liked him. Great guy. Haven't seen him in 30 years. Hope you're doing well, Stevie. Bye-bye. But nevertheless, I don't know where this energy is coming from. I got to admit, and you don't know this about me, I've had a little bit of a strep throat this week. And I never, ever take medicine unless I absolutely am dying. I live on vitamins. And I've been on an antibiotic all week. It's killing me. I hate it. But I was afraid it would spread into my ears, nose, throat, you know what I'm saying? So I've been on Cipro, man. I'm wiped out. Dead, like I can't move. I'm taking a lot of acidophilus with it because I know about the good bacteria. I'm not having caffeine. Unfortunately, I can't drink. I'm miserable. That's the worst part of it. It's like the end of a show, late at night, dark, can't drink. Can't mix them. I mean, you can theoretically, but you got to be insane to have a drink when you're on antibiotics because, you know, they're both stressing out the liver. The liver's got to detox the antibiotics. So all my good cells are saying, what do you want from me? We're the good cells. Why are you attacking us? You know, the bad guys are hiding behind the good guys. And so here I am. And so I was digging up. We were talking about murder, death, mayhem, what liberalism is doing to America, how we can't survive another 2 years of this. Impossible. 2 more years of these insane progressives and there's no America left. I mean, the biggest one was this statement by Hillary Clinton, America should empathize with its enemies. I could not believe this. Stupid she isn't. Who wrote this for her? But bigger question, play it for her now. Play it for
this
the
This is
family.
What we call smart power, using every we? Possible
Who's
tool
we?
And partner to advance peace and security, leaving
we.
No one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, trying to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view.
Whichever college girl wrote this for Hillary Clinton should be fired immediately because they have just undermined her chances to be president by 50%. No soldier, no soldier's family will ever vote for this woman, ever. No cop will ever vote for her. You're telling a cop to empathize with the drug dealer or the rapist as he's chasing him down a back alley somewhere, right? That's going to really play well in the police and the law enforcement community and the military. Unbelievable to me. At a time when the U.S. military is launching airstrikes against the Islamic State, which is raping, murdering, burying people alive, she's telling us to empathize with our enemy to advance peace. That would have worked very well in World War II. That would have we should have more empathy for the Nazis. And FDR should have gotten them and said, we have to have more empathy for Japan as the men were dying in Iwo Jima. That would have worked very well. What a commander-in-chief she'll be. I can't wait for that one. Speaking of woman for president, we had a woman call in last hour, wants to meet a guy, and we got into dating. I got into that whole thing. She wants to know how she can meet a savage. She's a savage. I don't do dating. I mean, make it very clear. We don't do that. We don't arrange conservatives to meet because you'll get nuts. You get a nut. Oh, yeah. Listen to that. I love Michael Savage. Let's meet a. Could be a rapist, a nut job. You don't know who's out there. He's anything. He's a crazy guy. So I don't do that. We don't do any. But as a result of it, during the break, I went on YouTube. I was having fun. I looked up Michael Savage on this and that. And I stumbled upon something from 2009 on me talking about personals columns. Jim, do we have that one ready to go? I mean, Robert, Jim? We are. Yeah, no, let's go to the Michael Savage on online dating. Let's listen to it. Have some. So you're not going to look for a girl who's going to be a wife and a mother in a bar. So where are you going to look? You have to look in a place like that. Forget the dating services. They're psychotic. You don't know what you're getting there. I say go to your church, go to church groups where there are young girls, and that's the only thing that I can suggest. I mean, you go to the dating sites. Everybody paints themselves in a way that they're not. If you remember, I used to do a dating thing, the personals columns on this. I pioneered it in the 90s, if you remember. Those of you remember, I used to read the personals columns before there were dating services. And I would read men looking for women, women looking for men. I'd read the ads, and then I would deconstruct what the ads really meant. So I would say, woman, mid-40s, looking for soulmate, likes intimate moments, you know, that kind of thing. I'd say she's probably 435 pounds, just out of Napa State Hospital. You know, I used to do stuff like that. So, look, you can ridicule all you want the imaginary. Why look on those sites for someone? It's never going to work out. You're going to find magic in an iPhone? Oh, that's 2009. There were no iPhones. How did I know about iPhones in 09? What was I? Did I invent the internet or was it Al Gore? I don't remember anymore. I must have had forward viewing or something, remote viewing of an iPhone, because no one had them in 09 that I can remember. 855-472-8282 is the phone number. This is Michael Savage. We could talk about any topic you want. It's open mic to mic day or something like that. And it's a weekend, and out here in the Bay Area, it's raining. It's horrible. It's miserable. We all prayed for rain. Now that it's raining, we hate it. And every newspaper article says the same thing. Although you are flooded out in your car and sitting on the side of the road waiting for the CHP to rescue you, it has not touched the drought at all. Global warming is so evil that although you're shivering in that rainstorm and the snow is now covering all the peaks of the Sierras, the state's rains have made little impact in relieving California's extreme drought. In fact, according to a new scientific study put out by another one of the biased so-called physicists or geophysicists or whatever they call themselves, they say that this drought in California is the worst that California has experienced in 1,200 years. Now, let's pause on that statement alone. That sounds scary. Ooh, this drought is the worst that California's experienced in 1,200 years. That's actually good news. Because that means that 1,200 years ago, long before the internal combustion engine, there was a worse drought. And it was not caused by man because there was no industrialization. So let's move on. Michael Sam, did you hear? Can't you use logic? The scaremongers tell us that they've studied tree rings and they discovered that the current event of drought is the most severe drought in the last 1,200 years. Okay. So what does that mean? It means 1,200 years ago there was a worse drought. So how could you then say that all this evil climate changes were due to humans burning fossil fuels? So now they're telling us that 1,200 years ago there was a drought that was more severe than this one. They don't even understand that they're reaching a point of ludicrousness in their own scare tactics. Let's say that tree rings do say that. So it only supports the fact that man is not producing global warming. Period. I have never seen anything like this. Someone writes this. Californians are the stupidest morons on the planet. For years, Californians elected and supported liberal politicians who squandered their tax dollars. The politicians entitled unions, welfare recipients, government drones, illegal aliens, those still mooching off mom and dad and other worthless freeloaders, giving them taxpayer dollars. They said it could all be paid for by taxing the rich, taxing big business, taxing their children's future, credit, and other fiscal nonsense. Californians were happy they were getting a free lunch. Now, with the highest taxes in the nation, no water, no health insurance, businesses moving out, the rich are moving out, even their children are moving out, California's maxed out their credit, more freeloaders and illegal moochers are moving in, taxes are going up, inflation is going up, and the state is issuing IOUs. So what did California voters do? They reelected the same corrupt, worthless Democrats, Moonbeam Brown, Pelosi, Feinstein, Boxer, and the rest of the lineup that have brought them disaster after disaster, over and over, year after year. The odds are that the California lunatics will continue to elect corrupt, worthless Democrats as far into the future as the eye can see. California truly is the land of the fruits and nuts harvested by illegal aliens. Anyway, this is so crazy. The party of death, abortion, euthanasia, liars, rhinos, taxes, and Ebola, czars, corruption, haters, progressives, liberals, cowards, prostitutes, racists, atheists, drought, weasels, drug addicts, tax cheats, gangbangers, illegal aliens, moochers, freeloaders, the rest of the dregs of society. That's the constituency of the Democrat Party. That's amazing, isn't it? But listen to the main thing. Let's talk science for a minute. Let's talk about science. They said that this is the worst drought in 1,200 years. So immediately, your logic, if you still have a logical faculty, says, oh, good. That means that man has not caused global warming because it means that 1,200 years ago there was a drought. That's way before fossil fuels were being burned. Let's move on. So by their own okay, it's over the head. I get it. If it's warm, it's global warming. If it's cold, it's global warming. If it's a drought, it's global warming. If it's too rainy, it's global warming. If there are hurricanes, it's global warming. If there are no hurricanes, it's global warming. If it rains, it's global warming. If it doesn't rain, that's global warming. Global warming means that there's an excuse to rob you of your tax base because Democrats like Jerry Brown think you're a moron. That's why they want millions of illegal aliens who don't even speak or read English. Do you understand that? Global warming, G-L-O-B-U-L-L, warming. And by the way, trees, I'm a botanist by training before my other degrees. Trees are not thermostats. And there are no studies proving that they can indicate past temperatures, none. This is all supposition based upon junk science, incidentally. And by the way, today, all government-funded science is totally subjective. But at least the admission that it was worse 1,200 years ago removes that the human CO2 component, it removes the human CO2 component from the equation. Remember the hockey stick illusion? Remember that? The carbon climate fraud? And yet it doesn't stop Obama and Moonbeam and all of the other non-science brains out there to tell us that we must rein in global warming. And you know why they attack global warming? Because they're cowards and they won't attack the Islamo-fascists. Because they're cowards and they won't attack the gangbangers. Because they're cowards and they won't attack the illegal aliens. Because they're cowards and they won't attack the true enemies of our society. So instead they attack a phantom called global warming. G-L-O-B-U-L-L, Jerry. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-B-U-I-C-O-I-N. All right, let's forget it's a family show. Let's go to the callers on the program. I was distracted during the break by a health article. It says, older guy's sperm really is worse, study says. Damn. I mean, no, that's an interesting article. Older guy's sperm really is worse, study says. Because a lot of people don't understand that. Because a lot of women blame themselves when they can't get pregnant. But it could be the guy, the ponytail guy with the bald head. You never know. Why blame yourself? It could be him. Mark on KSFO, welcome to the... Welcome to this. Sorry to be so unserious at this moment, but what's on your mind, Mark?
Hey, thank you for the sense of humor and the consistency. Hey, I just want to talk real quickly about the Staten Island situation. Look, anybody can make a mistake, and we all have to be accountable, especially when it becomes a death situation. I think what's really alarming here is it really kind of just a further erosion of our civil liberties. And, you know, while I think it's easy to look at it as a black-white issue, I think that there's a more sinister thing that's happening here. And although I haven't read your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, what's going to come out of this thing is more heavy-handed, you know, control of the police force and, you know, continued debate.
Right, and that's bad for America in a way, isn't it, when you have a federal government wanting to, in essence, nationalize the police force, especially when you have someone as vile as Al Sharpton in charge of this. It's unbelievable to me.
Absolutely. And again, Al Sharpton is just, you know, and the rest of them are just figureheads. I mean, I think there's something even bigger that goes well beyond the racial factor of this.
I agree, Mark. We are almost out of time. Are you a new listener?
No, I am not a new listener.
Well, I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War so you can read it for Christmas. I'm sorry we can't talk further. Keep him on the line if we can get him on the way back.
Savage.
We are talking about the demagoguery that's raging across the landscape from Obama to de Blasio to Hillary Clinton. We don't even have to say Al Sharpton. He comes from hate land. With demagoguery. The mother's milk of guys like him were hate. And so we understand that. If you get away with it and you get elevated preaching hatred, you keep doing it. Even if you're president of the United States, you don't stop. You don't grow into the job. You don't say, holy God, look what I got away with and let me bring the people together. You keep dividing. You keep dividing and then you triple down and you bring in 30 million illegal aliens and you destroy the country. And you say, screw the Republicans because I can do it, because Boehner's a weak drunk. McConnell is just an old turkey. They're not going to stand in my way. We're going to talk about the New York situation with the demagogue de Blasio, whose original name was Werner. His name was original name was Warren Wilhelm. Wilhelm. It's interesting because my car I named Wilhelm. So I have a natural sympathy for the name Wilhelm. I named my Mercedes Wilhelm when I bought it in 2009. because it reminds me of a tank. It's like a Panzer tank. So I affectionately named my car Wilhelm. But so Bill de Blasio was born Warren Wilhelm and changed his name to de Blasio to take his mother's name, which is okay. I mean, that's not a big deal. People use stage names. But who were his parents? According to historian Ron Radish, de Blasio's parents were far-left radicals. A bona fide red diaper baby who, like many of his generation, kept his parents' pro-communist politics not far from his heart. Both of de Blasio's parents were far leftists, most likely members of the CPUSA or some of its numerous front groups. In fact, de Blasio's mother in the early 40s worked at the Office of War Information, a U.S. government agency staffed largely by pro-Soviet leftists who depicted the USSR in a positive light. The mayor of New York himself is a great supporter, or was a great supporter, of Nicaragua's Marxist Sandinista government. He worked for New York nonprofits that were absolutely communist front groups. And so what do you think is going on in New York City where he attacks white cops, he attacks white voters, he attacks the Constitution, he attacks the country itself? Now, I supported the indictment of the officer in Staten Island who unfortunately went too far, which led to the death of Eric Garner. But I tried not to use the word race. I said it had little or nothing to do with race, actually, nothing to do with race. De Blasio made it all about race. And you have to hear this montage we put together of the demagogue from New York, Bill D. Lennon. Let's listen now.
People who feel aggrieved are asking for something simple. They're asking for the notion of a society in which everyone is treated equally. This is not just a problem in New York City. It is an American problem, an American challenge. It's an issue that goes back to the founding of this republic that we still haven't resolved. Our generation has to resolve it. The leaders you see around me, we are all responsible now. The weight of history can't be our excuse.
Oh, my God. Could you believe what he just said? The country was founded on everything wrong, and he's going to fix it. Him and his left-wing demagoguery squad are going to fix America. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like Barack Obama, who said America is going to be transformed by him and his goon squad? Now, Clinton says we should go even further than that. We should empathize with our devils, with our enemies, so to speak. I've never heard anything like this, but demagoguery is everywhere. And I thought I would open the show today by talking about demagoguery, or people's manipulators, or rabble-rousers. In other words, Barack Obama is no different than Al Sharpton. He's just smoother and has a better voice and a better haircut. Hillary Clinton is no different than de Blasio. It's just she wears a skirt, and she thinks that people still like her. Do you understand what I just said to you? Do you have any idea how dangerous this society is becoming under these liberation theologians? Now, here's the odd part. We had an election 3 weeks ago and we said no to this. We said yet. We said no to the Sovietization of America. We said no to Lenin. We said no to Marx. We said no to Engels. We said no to Trotsky. And what the Lenins are doing are saying your vote doesn't count. You didn't vote, and if you did, it doesn't matter. We're going to nullify your vote because we are flooding America with as many millions of illegal aliens who are dumb as a doorpost because they don't even speak the language. They don't even know what's going on. They will never know what's going on, and the dumber the better. The less articulate they are in their own language, the better. The less educated they are, the better. The poorer they are, the better. The dumber they are, the better. They're not bringing in millions of hardworking people. Obama brought in women and children this summer from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. Are you telling me that we have child labor in America? What was he flooding America with 2- and 3-year-olds for and 15- and 16-year-old pregnant women for? Because they are the feeder fish for the future Soviet America. A dumb population is a good population in Animal Farm. A population that is dumb can be manipulated endlessly in Animal Farm. Do you understand how dangerous this is? That our vote has been nullified and that they're planning a takeover of America in 2016, not on reason, not on positions, not on policies, but on sheer demographics. This has happened before in history and it's always been a disaster. Everyone I meet who works for a living, whether they be a clerk in a store or a millionaire, tells me the same thing. They are terrified what these evil people are doing to this country. A demagogue comes from the French word demagogue, derived in turn from the Greek demos, meaning people, and the verb ago, carry, manipulate people, meaning people's manipulator or rabble rousers. Is that not Barack Obama? Is that not Holder? Is that not de Blasio? Is that not it? And they exploit a fundamental weakness in democracy. They know that ultimate power is held by the people. And so what they do is they appeal to the lowest common denominator based on demographics, which is why de Blasio has told the people of the city of New York and the entire police force to drop dead. He is going to appeal to the rabble in the gutters. There was a saying in ancient Rome, who will watch the watchers? You ever hear that one? That didn't make it to the local TV station. That was at a time when Rome was collapsing and the government was totally corrupted. And there was a saying that went around amongst the educated classes, who will watch the watchers? Who's going to watch Eric Holder? Who's going to investigate Eric Holder? That's the question. Who will watch the watchers? Sure, those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat their history, or take out the word there. Those who do not know history are condemned to repeat history. And we are repeating history. We have a demagogue in the White House surrounded by a Praetorian guard of pure evil. I have called him a troika, because if you study the origin of the word troika, it was related to Joseph Stalin, who ruled the Soviet Union with only three people. Three men ran the entire nation through secret police, through terror tactics. They took control of the entire nation and turned it into a prison camp. That's where we're going with Obama, Holder, and Sharpton. They're a troika. Now, we had an election 3 weeks ago where we threw them out. We had an election that was a mandate to throw these monsters out. And they're acting as though there was no election. And you know why they're able to do it? Because there is no opposition party. Boehner is the opposition party. Klink is the opposition party. Why is Boehner suddenly uniting with Reid and Pelosi to shaft conservatives and to stop the amnesty action for millions of illegal aliens? Why? Why is he doing that? It's because, you see, you don't understand something. I've been saying this for months now. The reason Obama wrote that amnesty law is because he knew that he had an agreement with Boehner and McConnell. They worked it out behind closed doors. They did a trade-off. They said, look, you want it, I want it. Screw the people. We'll do what we want. They're nothing anyway. They'll soon forget it. So I'll tell you what. You give me amnesty. You make believe, you mumble something or other about it, blah, blah, blah. You make some window dressing for the idiots out there. And we'll give you the Keystone XL pipeline. What else? Throw something else in. You want an extra meatball on your sandwich? Let me know. I'll throw one in on it. Okay, and that's it. So they don't care. Boehner and McConnell are Better Business Bureau Republicans. They answer only to those who put them in power and keep them in power. It's only about money. It's only about contracts. That's all it is to them. There's no principle, there's no nation to them, in my opinion. There's no borders, language, and culture to McConnell and Boehner any more than there is to Obama and Holder. That's how I see it. It doesn't, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. Just because we know that the devils are running America, or shall I say ruining America, R-U-I-N-I-N-G rather than R-U-N-I-G. Isn't it interesting how one letter can change a whole word? Isn't language amazing? The power of the word? Isn't it amazing why illegal aliens have such a tough time learning English? What a complex language it is. English is one of the most complex of all languages, incidentally, which is why it has to be eliminated. I think that eventually the government should nationalize language in America and eliminate the English language as being racist unto itself because it's so difficult to learn. Conjugations, tenses, verbs, absolutely unnecessary. When you can grunt and point and make sign language and in a tribal manner, why would you need a language? Why should you have a language that's a language of the oppressor? It's time to reconsider and bring in the federal government on language classes in America and make it simpler for all of the people who can't speak or write English. It's quite simple to do. Reduce the vocabulary to that of an average rap singer to about 150 words. They do quite well on 150 words. Why do we need 15,000 words or more? I mean, my dog knows more than 150 words. I mean, maybe I have to bring him for a retraining. He knows more than 150 words in English and he doesn't make $50 million a year. Go figure. It seems the less you know of the English language, the more you make. I don't know how that works. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. demagogue. We've been talking about the word demagogue today. You know why? Because in my liberal arts education as an undergrad, my liberal professors warned me about demagogues, demagoguery. Demagogue is a noun. And a demagogue is a political leader who tries to get support by appealing to the lowest common denominator. What that really means is people manipulator. A political leader who tries to get support by making false claims and promises and using arguments based on emotion rather than reason. Now, we should insert de Blasio right here because he's attacking the police. Worse than that, he's saying that the Garner incident was racism and hatred of blacks. That's classic demagoguery. The word demagogue is derived from the Greek demos, meaning people or folk, and the verb ago, to carry or manipulate, thus people's manipulator or rabble-rouser, is a political leader in a democracy who appeals to the emotions, fears, prejudices, and ignorance of the lower classes in order to gain power and promote political motives. If that doesn't define President Obama, if that doesn't define Eric Holder, if that doesn't define Al Sharpton, if that doesn't define every mayor of every liberal city, I'd like to know what does. But further, if you read the definition of demagogues, it says they usually oppose deliberation and advocate immediate violent action to address a national crisis. That's Obama. That's de Blasio. Immediate action to address a national crisis. And they accuse moderate and thoughtful opponents of weakness. You should know the demagogues like Obama and de Blasio have appeared in democracy since ancient Greece. And what they do is they exploit a fundamental weakness in democracy. Right? And that's what they do. And they appeal to the lowest common denominator, to a large segment of the lower classes. Does that sound like what's going on in this country under this demagogue who we just tried to get rid of in the last election? Now, let's look at the background of de Blasio, because unlike Obama, we know where de Blasio was born, and we know his background. De Blasio, the mayor of New York, who's attacking the New York Police Department, was an ardent supporter of Nicaragua's Marxist Sandinista government. He was a director of the New York branch of the pro-socialist New Party. Was a campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's 2000 U.S. Senate bid. Now pay attention to the Hillary Clinton connection. She's no different. She's part of the same socialist class. Do you understand that? They're all the same. But here's the better part. De Blasio was born under another name, Warren Wilhelm Jr. He changed his name to de Blasio. Do you hear this? Why did he do that? He changed his name to Warren de Blasio Wilhelm, adding his mother's maiden name to his identity. In 02, he changed his name for a second time and became Bill de Blasio. Both of his parents were extreme radicals. Historian Ron Radosh describes de Blasio as, quote, a far-left radical whose ancestors are like the New Left and the communists, and a bona fide red diaper baby who, like many of his generation, kept his parents' pro-communist politics not far from his heart. Both of de Blasio's parents were far leftists, members of the Communist Party USA or some of its numerous front groups. His mother, Maria de Blasio, worked in the early 1940s at the Office of War Information, a U.S. government agency staffed largely by pro-Soviet leftists who depicted the USSR in a positive light. I can go on. He's been a supporter of communist and anti-American causes in the 1980s. And now he is fighting the best in America, attacking the wolfhounds and appeasing the wolves. Is our president associating with vermin like Al Sharpton any different? These are the lowest of humanity, the worst since ancient Greece, and now they're running America. They have nullified our elections. They continue to attack the best and the brightest. Where does this end? Not good, my friends. And just remember, I learned the definition of demagogue when I was a mere undergraduate student at Queens College of the City University of New York, when they warned me, all those liberal professors did, about demagogues coming to America from the right wing. And we woke up and found out they came not from the right, but from the far left. On that positive note, I leave you with one thought, and it's an important thought. For over a year, I labored to write Stop the Coming Civil War. I laid out what needed to be done to overthrow this tyranny. Many of you went and bought the book, 5 weeks on the New York Times list. Millions of you went and voted who weren't going to vote because I told you that you had to vote. And you did vote. I told you on this radio show. I told you in my books and writings. I said, please vote. You said, what's the difference? They're all the same. Well, yes, Boehner and McConnell are not showing that they're any different than Obama on immigration, whatever the subject matter may be. They're yes men. But I also promised you that after the election, we would use Stop the Coming Civil War together as a blueprint to turn the Republican Party around and bring them to represent the American people. The very same people who listened to this show, who went to the polls, who threw the bums out, only to wake up to the bums still in. We need an opposition party. How do we do it? You've got to share the information and Stop the Coming Civil War with your friends, your relatives, and your coworkers. Or better yet, and I mean this, go and buy a copy and give one to your most progressive friend. And then see how progressive and liberal they really are. Okay, on that pleasant note, this is Dr. Michael Savage saying have a very, very pleasant weekend, and God bless America.
Savage.